Grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Most of us, many of us, especially if we are women, and we are women in the church, we love this text. And we hate this text. I think throughout most of my career, there hardly goes a year by where someone will not identify themselves or someone else as either a Mary or a Martha. And then you have really weird people who are named Mary who are actually Marthas. And it's totally confusing. It's a kind of way to pigeonhole people sometimes, to sort of say, well, she's a Martha. So the Marthas are the ones who are going to be on the altar guild,
yay,
who are and who have a tendency to be rather self-congratulatory. The Marthas are busy all the time doing stuff. That's our sort of picture of Marthas. And Marthas have a tendency to look a little down the nose at the Marys, who they would say just don't do anything. They're the ones who go to Bible study instead of serve on the altar guild. They're the ones who, you know, do spiritual retreats, and those kinds of things. So we've end up with an almost kind of pejorative dichotomy. There's big words. A kind of way to call each other names and to say one is better than the other, because the Marys are looking at the Marthas saying, why don't you just sit down? Why don't you just bask in this love of God? Why don't you take a moment to get in touch with your inner spirit? They are a mystery to one another in so many ways. Now, I pick on the women, but I can tell you that often I divide clergy into Mary and Marthas. And I can tell you those Marys are really annoying. You can guess which one I am. We get distracted, us Marthas, by the many tasks which must be done. And as my spouse would tell you, sometimes when there are no tasks for me to do, I will make them up. For it is better to be busy than to be bored, saith the Lord. But it's not a helpful view of this text, I don't think. Nor is it a helpful view of society. In fact, Martha is doing nothing more than what is required to her by her and of her under the laws of hospitality. A rabbi has just come into her home. There's a lot to do. She is required to make sure that his feet are bathed and that there is wine and food available for him. She's required that all of the guests and his entourage who came with him also feel welcomed. And if you're someone who cares about hospitality, you know what that can be like. I mean, you've got to run out and buy paper plates. You've got to have forks available, all of the stuff that you sometimes forget. And so you've got to make sure everything is perfect. So she's really doing the right thing. But Mary wants to listen to Jesus. After all, what's the point of having Jesus in your house saying all of these wonderful things if you're stuck in the kitchen where you can't hear him? There's no point. And so Mary plops herself down at the feet of Jesus. It also is the right thing. Because, of course, what does Jesus say over and over again? Those who have ears to hear, let them be in the kitchen doing the dishes. Hear. Well, we in the church often get so distracted by all of the stuff that we need to have done that we forget that we are gathered here to hear the word of Christ, which calls and redeems and enlightens us as individuals and as a world. Sometimes we get so distracted by all the things that we think that we need to do that we even quit attending to one another. Because there's so much to do. Well, in the end, Martha, of course, comes and complains to Jesus. And I'm not sure that his rebuke is as harsh as some would think. He simply says to Mary, "You're distracted by so many things." And then the key to the whole text, there's only need of one thing. Does he tell her what it is? No. There's only need of one thing, and Mary has chosen the better part. Well, we know from later in Luke what the one thing is. And you even know it, you just don't remember. To love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and on and all your soul. And to love your neighbor as yourself. It's the one thing. Well, the text doesn't tell us what then happens. Have you ever been annoyed by that? You know, does Mary get up and help her sister because she loves her? Does Martha go stomping back into the kitchen angry because once again the worship committee got in the way? We don't know. We don't know, did Martha and Mary ever reconcile with one another? Or were they such well-formed human beings that they were able to kind of coexist and love each other as sisters should? We don't know. What we do know is that Jesus honors both of them. You see, the world cannot exist, and our faith in so many ways cannot exist without Martha's and Mary's and Peter's and even Amos's. We all have our role in the faith. And one of the beautiful things about being the kind of Christians that we have become is that you don't have to be just one way. You have to be who God made. And keep the one thing, the one thing. That's the core, I think, of the story about Mary and Martha. Is that when we keep the one thing, this love of God and love of one another, the main thing, all the rest of it seems to just blossom. It's when we root around and try and shape things in kind of an odd way and we set other things besides our love of God and love of one another as the most important thing in our life, then we become distracted by things, by worries, by anxieties. Remember that wonderful text? It says, you know, there are enough worries for today. Don't worry about tomorrow. But know God. And that's, I think, our calling in the gospel. And our calling as a congregation and as a church and as Christian people is to keep the one thing, the main thing, this love of God. And it will not, God says, be taken away from us. We hear it in the promise of Abraham. I will be your God, and you will be my people forever. And even though I'm finding my sweet spot here, sorry. You think I wander because I like to exercise, but it's actually trying to find the one place that I don't get feedback. And I think it even comes, and I had a whole sermon on Amos I was going to do, but it was really unpleasant, so I thought I'd skip it. But even when you get to the end of Amos, which starts out by saying, you people are terrible. You're like an almost rotting bowl of fruit. And I will take away everything from you, even not bread, not water, but the thing that matters the most, and you will hunger for the word of God. In the end, Amos, in that book and in that prophecy, reminds them that the one thing is that God will love them even though they have stepped away. And that same message remains for us. So when we leave today, we remember, yes, there are so many distractions in our life with making money and making a living and family that's kind of hard to get along with, and travel and all of those things, but somehow in the center of our being, who we are and how we are is the main thing. That God loves you and God loves the world and calls us to love each other. Mary's and Martha's all. Amen.